Hello and welcome to this edition of Rick's Martini Bar. I'm Jerry McCarty with Rick Farmelo, and we're talking today with special guest, legendary rock and roll pioneer Bob Cowsill of the Cowsills. And if you listen closely in the back, you can hear the rain, the park, and other things. One of his three gold records. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the podcast.
I'll take three. Three's good. Look, legendary and pioneer sound old.
Okay.
They make me feel old, and I'm not that old.
You're not
yet.
That old. You're not that old, but you were a kid's band.
I was. I was 16, 17.
18. And that's what I most want to hear about, is being 16, 17 years old and having a hit record. This record, like Rain Partner, I think, came out in 67.
Yeah.
67.
But we've been on two labels before that and had flop records.
Really?
Yeah, from 10th to just before the 12th grade.
What was that album with the zoo?
Oh, that was that record label. After we made it big on MGM, that record label, you know how they'd say, well, we had them first, even though we did kick them off.
Ah.
And then they put your stuff from their label that they said wasn't good one time, that they say, look, this is good. Look, this is what they were with us.
So MGM was your third label?
Yeah.
What was the first one?
Jota.
Jota, which was the African-American label.
10th grade, and we signed with Jota Records, Johnny Nash. I can see clearly.
Yeah, awesome.
He and this guy, Danny Sims, thought that me and Bill, who was 16, and Barry and John, who were 11 and 9, we signed to their label in New York, and it was a black label. And it started our black music experience in New York, where we would go up there. And they hired
no offense,
them.
But you were like the whitest music I've ever heard in my life. How could you say sign you to
the whitest?
That?
I don't know.
History of black labels, right?
We're going to talk to Danny Sims for our documentary. No, we are. And that's my question. Dang, what were you thinking? But nonetheless, we go up there because Bill could sing Motown. We had Motown last year. I know what it was. And it was all revolved around the fact that we didn't look like we sounded. But we were very talented. And so they have black writers, black producers, black musicians in the studio, like 30 of them, with lunch bags right next to their chair. I remember lunch bags. And we'd record song after song. And they just found those songs and those recordings just last year in a vault in New Jersey.
Awesome.
But it's
going
to cost us money to get them, but I know where they are.
Awesome.
So, and we spent, and eventually they scrapped the whole thing. And they put us in the studio. We got to play our own instruments. We did a song that Bill and me wrote.
Wow.
And that ended up being our very first release on Jota. All I Really Want to Be Is Me. And that was our first release. But all those cool black tunes we did are, I want to hear those. Duke of Duke of Soda Cracker. If you want to have a smoke, you got to have tobacco. Lyrics like that.
Awesome.
Yeah, and like
awesome.
15 were going, awesome, awesome. You know,
like, sounds like an old Camel commercial.
Oh, let me tell you, it was fun. And this was like Cosby Black. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we stepped right into Upper West Side New York Black. Like executives and writers and musicians, and like we're the only white people, and we do the gig like at a up in the what's the place up in the New York, you know, you go up to the
Catskills.
So we're doing this gig in the Catskills, and it's this big tent picnic gig, and there's like really literally just 200 black people and us. We're the entertainment, us and another folk singer, Josh White, his name was.
Wow.
Okay, us and Josh White, because they just loved us the way we
That's
played.
That's great.
But man, this fight broke out. Oh, man. I'll never forget it. And I just remember my mother screaming, but, that's my dad, but, get the kids. I'll never forget that. It's just that ringing I can hear. But, get the kids.
Animal House movie, going to see Otis Day in the Night.
Yeah.
We were down. I mean,
Do
we were
you
mind
if we danced with your dates?
No,
they didn't say
we
that.
We were a Navy family. We were a Navy family, man. We probably thought we were black.
Yeah.
Really.
But you were living in Rhode Island then.
Yeah, we were living just bouncing to New York, which is a big city to us because Newport was it, you know.
That's great.
And then that didn't work out, and they dropped us, and somehow we got picked up then by Mercury Records. Shelly Singleton signed us when I was in the 11th grade to Mercury. And we put out like three songs, Most of All was one of them, and that really, we got bubbling under in Billboard with one of their releases, but never quite got on the top 100. And then they assigned us to Artie Kornfeld at this label. He was a staff producer. And Artie's got a good story, you know, about his assignment. You know, when he heard about our age.
He wrote with you guys, right?
Well, that comes later. He was just a guy that was assigned this new group this time. Mm-hmm. And he found out we were kids, you know, and had to deal with that. But then we connected, like George Martin and the Beatles, you know. So, and he produced all these flops for Mercury, you know. So he went on a trip to L.A., came back to New York, and went to a meeting to be told they're dropping the Council Brothers from the label.
Whoa.
And Artie quit in protest.
Really?
Yes. Oh, and he and Steve Duboff that summer went in and wrote The Rain, The Park, and Other Things, Artie says, in 2 hours for us to give us a hit, and took us into the studio with no label.
Wow.
And somewhere along that, right about in that block of time, thought it'd be a good idea to put our mother in the group.
Really?
Yeah, right before MGM. So, you know, I don't know whether it was like, how do we differentiate ourselves from everybody else, you know, but somehow she's in. You know, and we're going, she's what, you know. We can do that.
So you four boys.
Yeah, four brothers so far.
First,
and they could honestly look at us, and I think my tough little nutty daddy Diddy looked at us and said, well, you've been on two labels and have four releases. What do you think you can do? You know. And, you know, you deal with that kind of reality.
Wow.
Yeah, whatever. So we go in and record this song, Rain the Park. And my mom was so scared, and she does this high part. I love the Flower Girls.
High melody.
Yeah, but she couldn't do it alone. I'm doing it with her.
Really?
Yeah, because she's shaking like a leaf.
Wow.
So they put me out in the studio behind her to double it with
her.
So she'd be comfortable. Yeah. So I was doing a falsetto while she was doing it regular.
Whoa.
And then, man, they took that whole package, her and us and that song, to MGM and got it signed.
Wow.
You know, and we went on a tour that September. But it was a promotional tour. Back then it was, the local MGM would rent out the Detroit Red Rooster. Is that the name of it?
Rooster Tail. Yeah.
Well, in 67, our convention that we toured through Detroit in was at the Rooster Tail. And they invited all the salespeople and all the execs from MGM and all the radio people.
Yeah.
Hey, all the time, you know, too. Like, there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. Jeez. I loved it. But, the Rooster Tail, and that was Detroit, and got to see a Tiger game and Dave McClain pitch.
Nice, 68 was the 31 games.
Yeah, well, whenever it was.
But he was great.
He
wore glasses in 67.
It was more the stadium than him, but it was cooler. It was more too. And then we had a hit, you know, and Mom was in the band. And then they put Susan in after Mom, because what the heck, I mean, like Bill says, at that point, the girl guy thing, we just gave up.
You know. And that was, for those that are listening to the podcast that don't know, that was the Partridge Family.
Oh, yeah.
The
inspiration for the Partridge Family.
Yeah.
They wanted you guys to be
Partridge.
Yeah, they came to our house, and we were doing okay, see, but by the time they're bumping into us, we've had the three hits, we didn't know at the time.
You've had more than three hits, three gold.
All right, three ones that you could get a reaction from someone somewhere.
Wow.
But anyway, so
this is one of them.
Indian Lake. Yeah,
Indian Lake.
That's a good story, too.
The three were Indian Lake,
The Rain, The Park,
Hair,
and, things,
and The Rain, The Park, and Other Things. But there's...
We'll take credit for Love of American Style.
We
Can Fly, if anyone remembers it.
We Can Fly was an awesome song.
Yeah, but it wasn't one of those, like, memorable number one million-seller Usher songs. So...
Poor Baby?
Only a West Coast hit.
Really?
Yeah.
Had West Coast song.
Yeah, but we're on the downside of the bell curve.
You know, and the harmonies is what distinguishes the Cowboys.
Well, we grew up listening to the McGuire sisters, the Andrews sisters, the Osmond brothers on Andy Williams, the sing-along with Mitch Show, all those harmony, girl harmonies.
Bob still tours in Los Angeles, and I...
I don't tour in Los Angeles.
Yes, you do.
I play on one street in the Valley.
All over L.A. Somewhere else.
Okay, but anyway, I was lucky enough, and I swear I feel like an intruder.
Intruder.
I want to tell you a story how I first met him.
You introduced me.
Well, I'll tell you how I first met him. It's funny.
Okay, let me do my thing first, and then you do your thing.
Okay.
But anyway.
He was first.
No.
No. So anyway, I was flying from somewhere into Los Angeles, and I stopped at the Fox and Hounds, and you were doing a documentary with the family.
Oh, yeah, we're working on that for 5 years.
We were doing a documentary, and I came in, and I felt like I was, like, intruding on some family thing. But it was so awesome. It was like Susan was sitting at a table with your sister-in-law, Vicki Peterson of the Bengals, and singing backup to you.
Oh, from the table?
From the table.
Oh, that's good.
And it was...
cool.
It was perfect. There's like nobody, there's nobody today that could do that. And your brothers were there, your nephews were there. And it was like, I felt like I was at some family barbecue picnic and I shouldn't be there. But it
we'll
was,
edit you.
But it was awesome. I mean, you remember,
well, we still
you remember that
what?
Night, of course.
Oh, heck
but,
yeah.
But look, was that special to you or was it just special to me?
It was special to me because everyone was there.
I mean, it was like generations.
To you because you
your brother Richard was there and your brother.
I know, everyone was there. We rarely get together. But when we do, it's so fun. People think we do it all the time.
I know.
No.
That's why I wanted to leave, because I felt like I was intruding.
Like family reunion.
I was like, I shouldn't be here. Oh, I'm Jerry Couso.
I'm private house.
Yeah. Did we finish the Partridge Family story?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The Partridge Family story.
Did we get on a tangent?
So anyway, so Danny asked, wanted mom to be in, Ruben wanted Danny to ask mom to be in the band.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't know how the thing went.
No, it was, anyway. No, the mother was going to be Shirley Jones. That was a gift.
Oh, okay.
That was set up for her. See, they pounded her, because I interviewed her. It was a great interview. They counted her that, to do it because you know she was from like Paint Your Wagon and
yeah, she's a big star. Huge.
This was a big gamble for her.
Yeah,
it was cool. I see why she took it when I met her husband, especially. But
Jack Cassidy?
No, Marty.
Oh, Marty Ingalls.
Yeah,
she I would love to hear about Jack.
I mean,
Cassidy.
She comes all sweet and surfacey and candy on the outside, but that's a tough chick, I think. Because these
really?
Guys are a handful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were checking us out to be the kids. But, see, by this time, we're touring and we're recording. And we're doing just fine.
You're big.
Right now, okay? So we thought, damn, man, a TV show, that's like every day, right? Yeah, it's every day. You know, because when you were off the road, if you weren't in the studio, well, you're just, you know, living or something, I guess. You know, just living. And we heard it was just every day, 5-6 days a week, you're down that studio. Not that if they told us we were going to do it, we were going to do it. But I'm talking about bedroom talks. Like, geez, please, God, don't do this to us. Well, he didn't, and luckily. But because I thought they got a good show, a better show. When they did meet us, we were too old. We were too tall. We were getting big. I was 19 now.
You're shaving.
I'm shaving. Man. I'm just dating for the first time.
I don't think David life. Cassidy shaves now, so
well,
I think you're
shaving. No, yeah, he does. David's been there and back. But anyway, and you know who was in the group that visited us out at our house with this fabulous idea of a mother in a rock band?
Who?
Young 20-something Michael Eisner.
Really?
Really.
From Disney. Wow. Yes, he was right Michael there. Eisner, CEO of Disney.
Diamond in the rough back then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was he at Paramount at the time?
Hmm?
Was he at Paramount at the time?
It was whatever part
of Paramount.
Paramount.
He was working under Paramount and Robert Evans. He was working under
right?
Robert Evans.
I mean, he was one of the guys behind the two in front. You know,
wow.
He wasn't the guy in front, but he was there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's very cool.
That is amazing.
And so they turned us down and had a big hit show, and I thought did really good. Launched careers and thought it was great and kept our name in front.
Wow.
Because little did we know we were going to be.
And I told you this was going to happen, but we're already into the podcast, but I want to finish the pod. We're already exceeded our
Are
time.
You serious?
Yeah, I'm telling you. I told you it was going to happen.
You want to do a second one?
Well, we'll do a second one. But anyway, but I want to finish this one with when you, Shirley Jones introduced you for the,
because
that had to bring it full circle after all those.
Yeah, but
that
took
whole
death in the family to do that. Yes, it did.
I'll tell you why. Okay, well, this is the whole story. So you're at
Katrina hit and Barry died. And he drowned because who knows? No one knows how. And at the same time, Bill, our older brother, died in Canada when we were burying Barry in Newport. The day we were doing that, he died in Canada. So now we got a double hit. And so before that happened, we had asked Shirley Jones. We said, look, we got a sick brother in Canada. We want to do a benefit concert for him, make some money for him. You know, would you sing in it? Was the first thing I asked her. And she said, well, no, I can't sing in it. She answered, but it was amazing. She called me on my cell phone. Hi, Bob, this is Shirley Jones. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, that sentence right there.
Yep, that
yeah.
Does. That would have been good for me.
I couldn't believe it. I said, it is? Yeah. I just want you to know, that I want to introduce you, but I can't sing in your show. Because I thought she could. Because the Parker Center and the Castles both recorded one song. And it's called I Really Want to Know You. I Really Want to Know You. And a Bear Man, Cynthia Wild song. And they recorded it on an album. We recorded it on an album. So I thought, oh, that's the one to have Shirley sing with us.
Wow.
Yeah, but Shirley, they never went in the studio. Yeah, they're not the Partridge Family. Yeah, and yeah, I'm not on the phone. Like, you could sing with us, you know? Because you did. And, I didn't. That was someone else, you know? Oh, sorry, Shirley. So, but when she came to introduce us, we met for the first time. And it was like meeting our mother or something.
That's a real way, right?
At the L-Ray.
Yeah, I was there.
You were there at the L-Ray?
Yeah.
And you saw Shirley Jones introduce him?
Yes.
And she stood there, because it's going to be in the documentary, and said everything. No, really. She said everything you could ever want Shirley Jones to say about us.
That's awesome.
And when I talked to her, she said, yeah, we knew. I said, hey, Shirley, did you ever hear of us when you went down for the Partridge Family? She said, no. I said,
really?
Yeah. I said, that's okay. Because I said, I didn't know who you were either, but we researched.
That's a good icebreaker.
No, I said, no, but we were just being, this is decades later. You know, yeah, yeah. What now? But we knew who you were when we said, oh my God, that's Shirley Jones, the other buckboard with the.
Yeah, Gordon McRae.
That's the one I'm thinking of, you know, it's a holy mackerel. And she said, now when they got us down into the studio the first day of doing the Parks Family, they brought our pictures down, said, now here's who you're portraying, pass out our pictures, and played our music, here's that, what they sound like, you know. They had to educate the staff a little, you know, on who we were and what they were going to be portraying. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, that's good that she finally, but she said you were the real deal.
Oh, she was great. Right. Her intro was just perfect. Said, look.
You're too modest to say it, but you were
the real deal. I know, she said it great.
She said, you were the these guys are the real deal.
I have said, we were just a TV show.
Right. You know. We were a TV show. These guys.
But she was great. The real and then when they died, she calls me up. This is Shirley Jones. Are you okay? She goes.
Really?
Yeah. I said, wow, thanks, you know.
That's nice.
And then I got to be at her house to do a real sit-down for the documentary, you know, with lighting and all that. And she was great.
Really?
She's a classy girl.
Really cool.
Good.
Yeah, but I still want to sing with her once. I think the Parker Journal should put a band together and we'll open.
Great. Well, Bob, this is supposed to be a 10-minute podcast, and we're at 17 minutes. So,
we'll just sell some more apples.
So, we're going to do
We have to charge the fans.
We will do a part two and keep Bob Cousel here.
Is there too much drinking going on?
I'm halfway down with my martini. Bob's drinking water. This is like the worst party I've ever been at in my life. So anyway, join us again. And I want to mention, if you want to see Bob, and it is an experience to see Bob in Los Angeles, go to www.cowsill.com. And you can get this podcast at www.mccartymetro.com. And join us.
$14.95.
It's free. It's free.
Oh.
Seeing Bob, do you have a cover charge? You ever play?
I do not charge for anything.
He doesn't charge for anything.
You will hear 45 songs.
But he does appreciate tips. And he just plays song after song.
Yes, he's amazing.
Anyway, thank you for joining us for the podcast. And join us for we've got podcast two, and then we're going to do something on the Beatles. So we'll do that. So thank you again for joining us. And thank you, Bob Cousel. And thank you, Rick Farmelo. And we will join you again next time for Rick's Martini Bar.